You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and we've got a very special caller today, Belinda. Belinda is actually someone I know, although I don't know what her dream is going to be about. And I first met Belinda through the forums on our old website. Our website originally began 11 years ago, and Belinda was one of the early contributors to the forum. And as a result of that, she's a very talented woman, and she built a software database, an e-dream journal. And it's now gone through several evolutions, and she's just completed the totally updated, totally new version, and it's a free download. So because it's all free, and because you're all listening, because you're interested in your dreams, and you probably would like somewhere to write your dreams down in electronic form, I thought we'd have a short interview with Belinda first on the Dream Site Diary database, which is her name for the eDream Journal, before going into her dream. So welcome, Belinda.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And would you like to explain a little bit more about the Dream Site Diary database and how people can use it?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Look, the whole idea with Dream Site Diary database came around because I used to write all of my dreams down in a journal. And because I dreamt so prolifically and so often, those journals would fill up very quickly, and then once I had about 10 or so journals, I'd get a box and I'd put them in a box. And I also used to dream precognitively a lot, and then I'd want to go back to find when things started playing out in waking life, like when the dream was happening in waking life, I'd need to go back and find where I'd written that dream down, because I was just very interested in the fact that I could actually do that.
Mm.
And so what I found was that I was having to sort of pull out five boxes and then go through 25 dream journals just to find, you know, that one particular dream. So, you know, one thing led to another, and then I actually had a dream about creating a dream database, and that's probably a story for another day. But so what I did is I built the database. So what people can do is download it from our website, which is dreamsitediary.com. And instead of writing your dreams in the journal, if you put them on the database, if you have situations where you want to go back and review a dream that you had 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you can do a keyword search. So you may remember something about the dream that there was, you know, a certain person in the dream, or the dream involved a certain place, you can type that in into the database search, and then that will bring up every dream that you've had where those particular symbols appear. You can also print out your dreams. So if you do want to keep a hard copy, you can actually get yourself a nice binder and print them out so that you can review them away from the computer. And the last thing that we've done with this latest version, and this is what I'm really excited about, Jane, and I think all the people that have used Dream Site Diary before are already saying, you know, they're excited about it, is that we've built in some dream analysis questions for people. So not only can they record the dream, but they can actually start learning to interpret their dreams just by answering those fantastic questions that you gave me to put into the database. And while that's not going to be a 100% perfect platform to learn dream interpretation, it certainly gives everybody out there who's new somewhere to start, and even us people that have been with you, you know, for a long time and have learned a lot about dreams, it gives us something to follow as well, because with no format, especially when you're busy and you don't have a lot of time, it's often difficult to know where to start. So I've even found personally just having those questions that you gave me that I can work through my own dreams very quickly, just, you know, by working through the questions. And one of the other forum members that I was talking to just recently said she got halfway through the questions and the dream was starting to make sense to her.
So, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a great little program, and we've made it free because, look, I've just gotten so much out of the dream work that I've done with you. I mean, my life has changed in ways that if I told people, they probably would think I'm making it up. So I'm not going to go on with all of those stories. But I have known you for quite a number of years now, and I've done dream coaching with you. And I really am living the life of my dreams through, you know, different things that came up in my dreams and how you helped me change my life and all that sort of stuff. So I just say to anybody out there that's listening, look, even if you're skeptical, just record your dreams and maybe even go back and look at them in 6 months' time or 12 months' time, and you will be absolutely blown away by what your dreams were telling you when, you know, you can see them down the track. And, you know, I'm just blown away what the dreams give me personally. You know, they just give me so much insight and ideas and creativity and all that sort of stuff. So I just want to share that with everybody because I feel like, you know, dreams are a gift that we've all got. So I hope people get a lot out of using the database and that they can, you know, find some improvement in life and happiness in life. So there you go.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic, Belinda. Thank you.
No worries.
And you're so right. It is a wonderful product, and you're so right on so many fronts, and particularly that thing about, you know, being able to look back and review dreams that you've had in the past, because when we have a dream, it always relates to the day or two before, and sometimes we're just too close to the issue to, you know, to really get it, and that's when you can, you need a bit of help, whether it's somebody like me helping you interpret, or whether it's using the questions in the diary database to begin to get some ideas yourself. But when you look back, you know, 5 or 6 months later, when you're kind of past the issue and you look back and how could I not have known that? So it's such a wonderful product, and you have put so many months and months and months of hard work into this. So I do, you know,
I love doing it. So.
I know you do. You live your passion. So please everybody go to www.dreamsightdiary.com. That's dream sight as in vision, of course, and get your free download and give it a whirl.
Exactly. Yeah. Can I just say one more thing to Jane on that? I was leading to it and then I got carried away. It would be helpful for the people that want to use it to actually read some of your books, because I've made that program knowing all of your dream interpretation methods and the way that you approach dream analysis. And so if somebody was to go and download the database and hasn't read any of your books or doesn't really understand your approach, they probably won't get as much out of it. They'll probably still get something out of it, but they wouldn't get as much out of it without sort of, like, for example, in Dream Alchemy you talk about all the universal symbols. Well, it's hugely helpful to know that when you're dreaming about water, that it's about an emotional issue, or that if you're driving a car, it's about something that's driving your life, you know, that sort of thing. So I think, you know, users would benefit from, and your website's, like, so full of resources as well, not just the books, but, you know, there's heaps of articles on there that people can read to get educated. So, you know, it's like taking up a new, well, I don't like the word hobby, but, you know, it's a new interest. And when you find a new interest, you need to kind of do a bit of research, you know, to get the most out of it, so to speak. So.
Well, yeah, thank you for that, Belinda. And that's totally true. You know, the more that you can understand about a process and an application, the better. People can still, of course, download the DreamSight Diary database for free and start to type in your dreams. It's very easy to see how to put your dreams in. And then as you listen to the podcast, go to the website, read my books and everything like this, then it will become easier and easier to interpret your own dreams. So
Exactly. And the fun part of it is the learning process. Like, when I first started, I just wanted to know it all straight away. And I used to get really frustrated. But when I look back now, all those years that it took me to kind of get it was the most amazing experience, because, you know, you just sort of slowly learn, things start coming together, and then, you know, suddenly it's like a really mind-blowing experience, and the whole journey's exciting.
Yes, it really is like, you know, an analogy would be like learning a completely foreign language, you know, not only a language where the words are different, but where the writing is different, the script is different, the order of the words in the sentence, you know.
Exactly.
And you might start, if you're an English speaker, learning Japanese or something and have no idea. And then after a few years, it suddenly all makes perfect sense. And
exactly.
Dream interpretation.
Suddenly you find yourself thinking in Japanese and speaking in
that's
Japanese.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Now we are going to look at a dream that you've had recently.
Yes.
Would you like to describe it?
Yes, I would. Now, we always give dreams a title. So this one I called Once Upon a Time in China. It's got a bit of a fairy tale feel to it, Jane.
Yeah.
What I did is I've dreamt of myself as a Chinese woman a lot. Mm. And I had this dream back in April, and I haven't had a lot of time to work on it. So that's why I wanted to use this opportunity to talk to you about it, because I've still got to come back to it and have a look at it. But I remember this particular night. I must have been thinking about these Chinese women in my dreams, and I actually asked for a dream to explain what is the connection with the Chinese ladies, because I just didn't understand.
Mm.
And so here's the dream that followed, because I went back to sleep and I was absolutely blown away when I woke up in the morning that it was like my dreams were answering the question. Mm-hmm. But then now there's more questions. Okay, so in the dream, when it started, I was in a place like, say, Melbourne in Chinatown, something, you know, like that. And I dreamt I was in a building. I've written this down. I was in some sort of boardroom with a Chinese woman, well-dressed, and a couple of men. I got the feeling they were Chinese mafia, but perhaps running a legitimate import business. Inside the building, I was confused. I expected it to be different, as if I was revisiting a place I'd been to before. But when I went inside, this was not the building that I remembered. That is why I felt confused. So then at this point, the dream changes, and I'm somewhere out in the public place, and I know the place, but I just can't put my finger on it.
Mm.
So then the dream shifted. I was with a group of Chinese ladies. Someone was telling me that once upon a time in ancient China, in a past life, I had been a food lady. I served food to people. The idea back then was that the king or rulers of the day wanted to make sure that everyone in the kingdom got fed, so they made meals available to people. The food ladies delivered the food around. If people could pay, they paid. If they could not pay, it did not matter. They were still fed. In the dream and in waking life, I felt in awe of this concept that no person should ever have to go hungry. I understood from what I was told that I was living a life of privilege. I was being taken care of by the kingdom. I got the feeling that I did not have to want for anything. As such, it was my job to take this food out to people. I remember the job being so wonderful. I remember how wonderful a feeling it was to give and not worry whether people could pay or not. And I've written here in this, okay, then the dream changes again and I'm back in a public place. And in this part of the dream, these ancient Chinese food ladies are serving me food. I can pay. I ask her how much and she says 95 cents. I'm amazed at how cheap it is, talking about the food. I look in my wallet for money. The food lady points out a large coin and asks me why I don't use that, and I explain it's not really currency. And we're looking at some type of commemorative coin, you know, like something they'd issue at the Olympics?
Yes.
Celebrate, yeah?
Yep.
And I look in my wallet and I see a $20 note, but then I find a $5 note and I give her the money, calculating in my head that there will be about $4 in change. And then the dream changes again, excuse me, and I find another building. So I'm back in that Chinatown again in Melbourne. And I find another building on the next corner down from the street where the first building was. And that was the building that I was looking for, not the first one that I went into.
Ah, so you found the building.
I found the building.
And was that building that you found, was that as as a building that you remembered, or was it a...
Yeah, that was the place that I was trying to get to in the dream.
Mm.
Not the first one that was in the beginning of the dream with the mafia. I didn't feel good in that bit. It's like, oh,
why
am I here?
What was special about the building that you were looking for and you finally got to at the end?
It had a sense of familiarity about it.
Mm.
The only thing I can associate with that, Jane, is when I did live in Melbourne, I remember going to Chinatown a lot, and it was, a thing that I really looked forward to doing with my parents.
Mm.
And we used to go through all the, the trade stores and see all the beautiful furniture and figurines and that sort of stuff. There was a big store down there called David Wang, and it was sort of like I was looking for that type of shop.
Yes.
Or building in a dream.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But it's not 100% clear either.
Yeah.
It's a bit of vague. I'm a bit vague about why I was
looking for this particular
building.
But the feeling that dream building gave you at the end was familiarity and taking you back to happy times when you were much younger and lived in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, lots and lots of interesting stuff to work with there.
Sorry, it took so long.
No, it's good. I mean, and you've on one level you've said, oh, China does represent for you happy times in your early childhood or early adulthood in Melbourne when you went to Chinatown. So there is, one connection there. And I just want to, before going into some of the things, just want to mention the past life thing first, because I know that most people listening, this will be the thing they want to tick the box for first.
Very
important. Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it, that our dreams are always about the last 2 days. You know, our dreams are always processing what happened for us in the last 2 days, trying to make sense of that. And while we do that, we often go back to the past. So, it might be that an issue that is relevant for you in the last 2 days touches upon something that happened for you when you were 30 or 20 or three or two. And so your dream brings up something from those days, whether it's a place like Chinatown in Melbourne or whether it's a school or a friend. And the dream brings up a marker that tells you, oh, this also relates to something in my past. There's something in my past here that can help me to understand what happened in the last 2 days that I'm trying to make sense of. So you then apply the argument and say that assuming we've had past lives, and everybody bear with us that's listening, I know some people think we have and some people think we haven't, but assuming that we have had past lives, then the same thing would apply. You'd say, okay, I've got an issue in my life at the moment. Where does this resonate from? Where's it coming from? And it would then be possible to say, okay, instead of going back to when I was three and the dog bit me, let's go back to when I lived in China in a past life. That would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll never know in the context of dream interpretation whether you had a past life in China, whether you didn't have a past life in China, whether you have had past lives or you haven't. But what we do know for sure is that if you had a past life in China, then if you've had past lives at all, then you must have had so many past lives. And in all those past lives, you had so many experiences and so many days that you would say, well, why on this particular night did you go back to that experience of being in China?
Yeah.
So, and giving out the food. So we can't really say that a dream proves that you've had a past life in China, but what we can say is whether or not you had a past life, the feeling and the emotions and everything around what that dream portrayed in the past life is relevant to what you're going through now.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So setting aside whether you had the past life or you didn't, the information is what we need. And I say that also, Belinda, because some people quite often have dreams where they're in, say, historic dress in their own country.
Yeah.
So they might say, I was in the Middle Ages, or I was in a battle in the First World War. And quite often those dreams are more symbolic. And you can say, oh, yeah, like the dream of living in the Middle Ages. Are you middle aged at the moment? Yes, I am.
Exactly.
Or the First World War. When did you have your first war with your husband exactly?
Exactly.
It's important not to question that too deeply, but just to take the symbolism. So
yes, that's right.
You've already.
And I knew when I'd had the dream that it was I didn't wake up thinking, oh, gee, I've had this past life. But I have to say that the emotions that it brought up were so powerful that it was almost like I did.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and only you can know that. So we're going to work with the symbols and that knowledge that it's deeply emotional as well. Now, you've made one connection with Chinese and said Chinatown and Melbourne early life. But what kind of age were you then?
I was in Melbourne from very young, like as probably a toddler, with a little shift up to New Guinea for 18 months. And then I was basically there till I was 15.
Okay, so the kind of like the first 15 years of your life.
Yeah.
And if I were to say to you, apart from that, what do Chinese women in general represent to you? What three words would you use to describe in your quick gut response the average personality of a Chinese woman?
This is the thing that I don't know. Like this is why I was asking the dream, because I couldn't really make a connection with Chinese women. Mm-hmm. I don't have any particular judgments towards them, or I think their culture is hugely interesting.
I'll ask you one question, otherwise a lot of the clues are in the dream. Say the Chinese culture is extremely interesting. Which particular facet do you find most interesting about the Chinese culture, particularly the ancient Chinese culture, because you dream about ancient China?
The history, the beliefs, I suppose there's all that, you know, the kind of yin-yang, the Chinese medicine, all that.
Okay.
Everything to do.
So we've...
Everything to do with their culture is interesting to me. I don't like the communism part of it, but that sort of happened later, didn't it?
Yeah, so we're definitely into ancient China here, and that's what your dream said. It said ancient past life and ancient China.
Right.
And you've really got it there. You said, the yin-yang, which, of course, is the balance between opposites. And the main thing about the yin-yang being the more you go to one extreme, the more you begin to actually emerge at the opposite extreme. And one of the prime things that's shouting out from the whole big dream you had there was the give and receive, wasn't it?
And that's
what really gave you the emotional connection in the dream. It's people were giving for giving's sake, not for what they got back, and giving in order to care for everybody in the community. And then at the end of the dream, you were in the opposite position. You were actually receiving.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it's almost like that yin-yang thing there where, you know, you give and you give and you give and you give and you give, and as you get to the extreme end of the giving, and you've perhaps even given everything that you had, then you start to move into receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving, and in the end you receive so much and you go right to that other extreme of receiving for, hey, look, you've got all this stuff, so you can then move into the giving and the giving and the giving. And that's the yin and the yang, the kind of pendulum swinging. That's how we can often go from one side to the other. So my feeling there, and particularly because you mentioned the memorial medal, but I do want to come back to that. The memorial medal is not a coin to spend. It hasn't got any buying power in itself, but it is something that you hang on to for the memory. It has a different sense of value. And you particularly said, it's a commemorative medal like the Olympics. And the Olympics, I guess, in its best sense. Well, what do you think the Olympics is in its best sense? What does it represent?
I remember I had a very big life change in the year 2000. And that's when I first started actually getting into dreams. And because I took some time off work and I ended one career and sort of started another career later, but I did have like that time off in between where I was looking at my dream life. And I do even remember dreaming about the Olympics back then. Like, there was always five rings in my dream and lots of like symbolic connections to the Olympics. And I think it's got something to do with, do you remember when I discovered I was a perfectionist and I was nearly killing myself?
Yes.
And I didn't know.
Yes.
and I gave myself, remember you gave me that exercise to do where I rewrote a dream, and I decided that instead of being a perfectionist, I just aim for excellence.
Yes.
Yeah. And I expected at the time it was very symbolic because the Olympics was going on, and I thought, you can be an Olympian but not a perfectionist, because with a perfectionist, nothing's ever good enough.
That's right.
So you're always going to kill yourself trying, and you're never going to feel good about anything you do. So, yeah, that's the Olympic.
So that's beautiful. So what you've got there in your dream is the Olympic medal, the memorial, your memory of learning that, to step back, to change your values from perfectionism to excellence. So, and you know, between leaving the one career and reconfiguring and starting a new career, what you actually did was change your values then. And so, you know, and that's what coins are, you know, the coins our value.
Your value.
Yeah. And the everyday, our everyday notion of coins, as in money, is yes, it's to buy stuff. It's like material things. Whereas in fact, your dream is saying, no, there's a deeper, that value system, values is not about buying and selling. There are deeper values. And then your dream explores the values of giving and receiving.
Yeah.
Which are equal and wonderful. And that now, everyone in a dream represents yourself. So although there's also your dream portrays that wonderful feeling of giving and benevolence and looking after the greater community and the World Olympics, which is also true, on a dream level, it's also about you. So it's being able to give to every aspect of yourself, you know. So you might think, well, maybe I give to myself in my physical sense, maybe I give time to myself in my spiritual sense. I don't know which of which, I'm not interpreting this from the dream, but there may be one area of your life where you are less giving to yourself. And so you need to remember that benevolence to be the Chinese yin-yang ancient culture lady, and keep yourself in balance in all areas of your being. So that, and then, you know, in doing that, in giving to yourself and giving to yourself and giving to yourself and giving to yourself, what you ultimately get back is receiving and receiving and receiving. And for some reason, that also goes back to you from that familiarity and joy that you had in Chinatown, you know, until the age of 15 with your parents, a sense of being somehow
Would have represented having weekends off, I think.
Well, there you go. So if that represented having weekends off, is that one area of yourself that you neglect at the moment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, fine.
You know, listening to what you say, some of this is starting to make sense, because I can remember a couple of months ago really reaching a stress out point, you know, where what you were saying about the cycles of you give and give and give and then you receive, receive, receive. I can remember at the time of the dream feeling really stressed out because our business really took off a couple of years ago. And we weren't prepared for the amount of success that we were going to have. Like, we just started this little old computer business in our little old neighbourhood. Thought we were going to be really lucky if we could make $500 a week, you know. We just had such lowly expectations. And suddenly we've got, like, hundreds of people coming in every week, 30 computers a day to fix. And, you know, it has just been absolutely full on. And we didn't even have time to digest any of that.
Yes.
And so and whilst I'm really grateful for the success, I had actually been feeling like I was really burnt out at the time, you know, like I couldn't give any more.
That makes a lot of sense. And you also said two other really interesting things there. So what you're saying is that at that time you realized that you weren't giving to the part of yourself that needed the weekend off, really, because in not giving to that, you actually didn't have anything left to give that area of your life.
That's right.
Congratulations on all your success. Wonderful for dream work. But, you know, there's five rings on the Olympic medal. That's kind of like, I'm going to suggest to you that's 5 days that you work in the week and you take 2 days off. But more interestingly, you said there that when so much work was coming in, you weren't getting time to digest. That was the word you used. And it's quite often when the food, when you talk about a dream or when you're in the frame of talking about a dream but referencing your waking life, it's quite amazing how often your unconscious mind will put in key words. So the digesting in your dream is all about giving food, giving food, giving food, and then receiving. So it's not only food in a symbolic sense of nourishing and nurturing yourself at the weekends, but it's about needing time to digest what's happened on the 5 days a week in order to be fresh and ready. There's so much else in your dream, but there are two things, one other thing that I'd like to just jump in at.
Sure.
At one point you opened your purse in the dream and there was 95 cents?
Yeah.
Numbers and dreams are usually pretty accurate. So 1995. Anything jump out at you relevant to the discussion from 1995, which was...
Do you know, from 1995, just trying to think, I moved here in 94. Yeah, that would have been the year that I broke up from my husband.
Ah.
Like the year after.
Yes, yeah.
So we split in, I think, November 94. So 95, I moved to where I'm living now and set up, you know, home and and that sort of thing. So
that part of the dream, which we will have to wrap soon because of our podcasting time, but that part of the dream, you had a what cost 95 cents in the dream there?
It was the food. I was buying the food. It was like they were serving me and I was buying the food.
Okay. So in your dream, there was a sense always that if people could pay for the food, they would. And if they couldn't pay for the food, they'd get it anyway. Nurturing is something that we must all have, no matter whether it costs or whether it doesn't cost. It's ours by right. And at that time in the dream, you felt that what you could pay was 95 cents. So what you were paying was something relating to 1995, which is when you were getting back on your feet after your relation, your breakup with your husband.
Yeah.
So it was a sense of I'm something around 1995. I'm beginning to be in a position now where I can actually contribute rather than get my food for free.
That is so true. That is so true, Jane.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a dream alchemy practice, but there's so much food for thought in that dream. And we haven't even touched on all the other details, which for everyone listening in is, you know, if you go like for an hour dream interpretation, you really go into all these other details. But
exactly.
Belinda, I think you've got enough to shift on there. What I'd like to do for a dream, suggest to you for a dream alchemy practice, although this is a slightly older dream, I think it would, you know, the issue is still relevant.
Yeah, it is still relevant.
Yeah. I really, as you know, with dream alchemy, it's really good sometimes to pull one symbol from the dream and really amp it up and make it work for you. And because you've, amongst other things, particularly picked the idea that you maybe need to give more to yourself by having your weekends off, during which time the solutions for how to cope with the workload will actually come to you, make life easier. I'd like to suggest focusing and visualizing that Olympic medal with its five rings, and the five rings is the gold that you spin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And at the weekend, you put that medal away, you put it in a drawer, or you pop it on a, you imagine popping it on a ribbon round your neck because you deserve it. It's a reward. You've won it. You pop it inside your shirt and you have the weekend off and you bring the medal out again on Monday morning. Can you work with that visualization?
I can. Yeah, that is fantastic, Jane.
Okay.
I love it. thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Belinda, for sharing your dream and for also, you know, giving a bit of background on the Dream Site Diary database there. I'm sure this is one podcast that
people
will listen to right to the end. Thank you. And thanks to everyone else for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. You can find out lots more information about dream interpretation and analysis on my website, which is at www.dream.net.au. And if you enjoy listening, you can also find there my audiobook, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips. There are so many resources on the site, as well as Belinda's e-dream journal and its free download. So please come along, have a look, and enjoy your week. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.